Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, Dave Wire here, and we're all having... Oh wait, listen to this. Check this out. Isn't that funky? That's our funky theme song, folks. We got a little theme song thing going on here. Okay, now that'll be over real soon. There we go. So everybody, how's the hair today? Marshall, how's your hair? Oh, there's a dog. Your dog has bad hair, huh?
My hair is interspersed with dog hair. That's how I roll.
That's a good answer. And we have Chris Sod here. Did I pronounce your name right, Chris? Chris Sod?
Yep, that's perfect, Dave.
And Chris, do you have a dog too?
No. No, I'm borrowing Marshall's dog.
That's Marshall's dog. So Chris, yeah, how's your hair? How's your hair doing today, man?
My hair's not bad. It's my hair's usually really quite short, and if it grows out, it starts looking really wavy and like an afro. So I keep it short.
So you have good. You know, we have a rule that anybody with good hair gets kicked off the show.
My hair's terrible.
Okay, good. That's good. And we have a special guest supposedly arriving at some point, not too distant future, we hope. That's Doc Searles. And we'll just sort of play this by ear. So, Marshall, what's going on this week? Hey, you got a house, right?
Yes, I'm moving in tomorrow. I'm real excited about it. It's been a dream in the works for years. And, you know, I used to say that Twitter is paying my rent. If you Google for the phrase paying my rent, actually, I've got the number one search result for an article titled Twitter is paying my rent. And now I guess things are changing.
So who's paying your rent now?
I'm not paying any rent now. Oh. Now Twitter must be paying my mortgage.
Oh, is that true? Wow, that's good. You and all the people that work at Twitter. So
congratulations on that, Marshall. That's great.
So what's
going
on?
Yeah. So, so doing that, and it's been hard to be honest, to think of any news stories this week bigger than Twitter. And I think that there's been a lot of discussion about whether these illicitly acquired and then surreptitiously passed around internal Twitter documents, whether those are legitimate to report on or not, but they're out now, and there's some real interesting content in them discussing the future of the company that's so important to a lot of people in communicating online. It's really, really playing a big role in defining this era. So I'm excited to talk about what we saw in those documents.
Yeah. Well, they talked about something called Hoseberg, Hoseberd. Which I guess is their name for what we've been calling the fire hose, and it seems like they're being very careful about who gets access to that. That's like the family jewels.
Yeah, that seems like a real shame. I mean, I can understand the concern about big search engines getting access to that and then beating them at their game of search that they think so much monetization is going to go on around. But there's so many other parties out there that could do some really interesting things.
Google says that they're already scraping 60-70% of the content on Twitter. I think Doc's here right now. Hold on a sec. I'll bet this is him. Don't go away.
Guys?
Is that you, Doc?
That's me. Do I sound okay?
Yeah, you sound great. Hey, Doc, welcome to Bad Hair. How's your hair, Doc?
How's my hair?
Yeah. This is the secret question, you know, sort of like the rite of passage. If your hair is bad, you may enter.
The question is, which hair are we talking about?
there we go. Everybody's got a good answer to that one.
Did you cut your hair? Yeah, in fact, I cut all of them, you know. So.
Well,
yeah.
It isn't Bad Hairs Day. It's Bad Hair Day. So, you get 10 points there. So, we're in the middle, actually, just getting started. We're like 5 minutes into it. So Marshall was giving us the sort of heads up on what was in the great Twittergate memo that was released today by TechCrunch. And what I was just saying as you dialed in that Google claims that they've already they're already scraping or crawling 60 to 70% of the content on Twitter. So it seems
only 60 to 70. That sounds like a low number to me. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
It's actually in the document there. It's in the document it mentions that they're scraping, I think, 60 to 80%.
Yeah. So what do they need access to the fire hose for if they already get that much? And the other thing that struck me was that Twitter says that they know that Google is getting ready to compete with them, which is news to me.
I noticed that too. I mean, there's been a lot of public discussion about how Google knows that they need to get into real-time search, but I do wonder whether that comment was just based on that speculation or whether they know something the rest of us don't.
You know, what was actually most interesting to me about the search question was actually there was a number of bullet points there that said, do people actually want to be searched on, and is search actually the killer app for Twitter?
Yeah.
And you know, is it the same use case as, you know, searching for web pages? And there was actually quite a clear indication that they're actually not sure search is the right application or
I'm not sure either.
No, neither am I.
I've found that I don't see Twitter results coming up that much in Google searches, but I do have it come up in my alerts. I have, you know, a bunch of different Google alerts that sort of are running all the time, that, you know, vanity searches of various different kinds. And usually when, and then Twitter, you know, posts now are starting to come up in those, and I find that they're usually very not informative. I mean, I don't really care what people say in 140 characters. Usually isn't all that much value to that, I find.
No, it seems to me that Twitter is a set of interesting gestures or signals towards content or conversation that might be interesting, but actually searching the raw Twitter feed is only useful if you have, let's say, a persistent search and you are monitoring a brand or a product or a service and you need to jump in and participate. But
I think you actually do that,
and they mentioned, yeah, I think anyone that's involved in product development or outreach or even internal stuff in a company needs to be tracking the brands and categories that they're involved in.
Mm-hmm. I disagree.
Go ahead. We've all got iPhones, I think, so we're all like dealing with horrible latency. Yeah.
I want to borrow one myself, so it's weird.
Are you?
Yeah, because my landline doesn't have long distance, I found out. Like, you could call me earlier, but I couldn't call you back, it turned out. So then I had to look at my phone and I couldn't find it.
Oh, geez.
So I borrowed a guest's iPhone. So here we are.
Well, thank God for the guest. So do you search much on Twitter, Doc?
Actually, I've got a Grease Monkey script running that puts Twitter search results in front at the very top of my Google searches. So I just search for morning coffee notes, and I get 5 Twitter results before I look at the rest of them, which are all Google search results. And it's sort of, you know, sometimes it's interesting, sometimes it's not. When there's real news going on, like when we had fires in Santa Barbara, I could look up, you know, Jesucita or T, which are the names of the fires, and it was really good to get this Twitter. I don't call it real time, I call it live web, but I get the live results above, and I get the kind of static results below that. So to me, it's sort of like the plumbing for me is wired through this Grease Monkey script, so I'm getting the Twitter search and the Google search combined. It's a hack, but it's kind of a fun thing to have.
Uh-huh. I have the same thing, actually, and I tend to ignore it. And I don't know if that's because it's not useful to me or because my eye is trained to ignore anything above a Google search result. But I have it running, but I tend to find not much utility in it, actually.
You know, I use that same script, and I swear by it.
I'm the only one here who doesn't do it, and we went through that last time, that I'm not a Grease Monkey guy. I just use the sort of natural experience, you know. I'm a natural guy that way.
The other way that I use Twitter search is by bookmarking the search results page for all of the members of the ReadWriteWeb team. Our usernames with an or in between them, and that's where I start out my Twitter searches from that results page already filled out, and I'll jump over there throughout the day to see what people are saying about, you know, the conversations that my coworkers are participating in.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back to what Doc was talking about with the fires, because I often cite that actually as an example of sort of sources going direct and about how we'll fill in the blanks on news coverage that, you know, having an expert like Doc, who actually isn't an expert but just sort of like an inspired amateur, I guess. Would that be an accurate description of you and the fires?
I think I'm kind of an expert in Santa Barbara, but not in the tech.
Right.
Yeah.
So the question is that in 2009, do you actually get good information from Twitter about those fires?
Oh, yeah. When something like that's going on, it's incredibly valuable.
Is it? So people, that if your house is about to burn down, the first thing you do is go boot up the computer and start tweeting about it?
Well, it's not like the first thing that I do, but I mean, we were in...
No, I don't mean you. I'm talking about other people.
Oh, other people? Santa Barbara is an interesting case because it's probably the only city its size where the city newspaper has already pretty much failed, or is certainly a kind of a media outcast. And so a lot of other place blogs and other things have kind of stepped up. And so I would say Twitter use here in Santa Barbara is quite high. I think with the fires made it a lot higher. We've had 4 fires in the last 2 years. And the San Diego fires, that was there was a guy named Nate Ritter who created the first Twitter fire hack, as it were, by creating a San Diego fire as a Twitter entity. And then KPBS, the radio station there, created a Blogger blog, and then they fed things from the fire tweets into there. It was incredibly useful. And I think a lot of people in Southern California especially took a look at that and said, I'm just going to get a Twitter account, and I'm just going to, you know, keep up with this particular thing. So I think we're in a region where the use of Twitter for that kind of thing as a percentage of the pie chart of Twitter use is quite high. And it's much more current. I mean, people will blog something that's really useful about the fire, or they'll find out what streets have been closed or what's another way out or what's already burned or even house numbers, and post them, and then it becomes incredibly useful. Here's some KML files you can download from a satellite feed that you can put onto Google Earth and then get a 3D view of your street. That's something that I kind of contributed to the flow. And then I'll put something on the blog, then I'll tweet about it, and then all of a sudden a lot of people are looking at it. Nobody's doing it for the traffic. It's really a kind of – it's not barn building. It's kind of like barn saving, right, where you're
everybody
saving
sees
like
there's,
barn.
There's a consensus that Twitter is the way to do this, then. It's really – people are actually really doing it then.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's I wouldn't want to say Twitter is the way to do this in the fullness.
Well, the next
of time.
Question I was going to ask is,
that's the way to do it.
Are there any, right, so the question I was going to ask next was, are there like any limits of Twitter that, you know, that you wish that you could relax or erase for this particular application? I mean, is the 140 character limit? Pardon me?
I don't know. The 100
access to the fire hose.
I didn't hear you.
Oh, sorry. I was just saying the limit I'd like to relax is access to the fire hose.
Oh, and why would that's pretty interesting. Fire hose and fires. Why would access to the fire hose make a difference in this case?
The fact that the fire hose is limited really limits the kind of applications you can build on top of Twitter, and they seem reasonably open to making it available. Their infrastructure seems too brittle to support that right now.
But that is very much contradicted by what TechCrunch has today. Everywhere you look, and it's contradicted by everything that we already knew about Twitter, is that they're very, very, very protective of that. They're not going to let that out.
And in particular, those documents today said that they were, and maybe this is just, you know, one person in a room asserting this instead of consensus, but one of the phrases used was that the API license should be stricter than the terms of service.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I would be willing to bet that Google Twitter will go down before they let anybody have access to that. That they will fail as a company probably because of that, because they've been so restrictive about who can access it, because they're going to get routed around. I mean, you know, it's, and I'm throwing that out there, and, you know, obviously in a very sort of black and white, you know, if anybody strongly disagrees with that, please, you know, please do. But history says that they will get routed around for this, putting up this great big wall around the flow. I mean, never has a company owned a medium the way Twitter owns a medium.
Well, and imagine if there's 1 billion people participating in this kind of communication, and at that point, you know, you're trying to make public utility type use of it, you know, for a fire or what have you, and to know that if you're only able to extract, you know, something less than 100% of the, you know, the full scope of all the messages that are out there, that just doesn't sound like the kind of offering that people are going to want to build a reliable, sturdy service.
Go ahead. Sorry. I was just going to say that no medium needs a sole proprietor. That's the problem. That's why they will get worked around. It's inevitable. It's not that they will be worked around. They need to be worked around if they're playing that controlling game. And I say that in full respect for all the good work they've done so far, because they've created a method of doing something that's cool and widely used, but they can't be the only one in the game.
So you have the perfect example, the perfect application with the fire stuff, right? Is there anything that you can't do that you would think you would be able to do if it were the web as opposed to Twitter, which the web is, you know, completely open, anybody can do whatever they want, versus Twitter, where you have this sort of like you can do anything you want as long as Twitter Corporation lets you do it. Do you think there's any feature that you're not getting because of that, or do you have everything you want? Because, you know, you see what I'm saying? It's like,
well, I don't think I'm getting everything that I might eventually want, because it's essentially one company operating in the space. It's you know, everybody wants to create AOL and CompuServe over and over again. I don't know why, but they keep wanting to do that. And this is another one of those. I mean, so what business, what ideas does Twitter prevent if they're the only guys in the game, no matter how useful they may be? I mean, I think it would do
them.
We can't imagine yet.
Without competitive pressures, there's no one pushing them to act as an even more fissoned platform. You know, one thing I noticed in the documents, at least that were extracted from, you know, excerpted from TechCrunch, maybe, you know, who knows what else was in that giant pile of documents, was that there was no mention of archiving content, which I think is a real big problem on Twitter.
Interesting.
You know, if I wanted to go back now, Doc, and analyze the discussions of the last wave of fires, you know, my understanding is I'd be out of luck.
You know, here's an interesting thing.
That's a big one for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a very big one for me. And here's an example of my naivete at work. I just assume that stuff is all indexed. I just assume it.
No.
I assume it's on the web and because it's persistent. So then it's like, it's exactly like AOL circa 1992, because it used to be, you know, all of your emails, all of your forum participation all got scrolled off.
It's like Facebook circa 2008, 2009.
Yeah. See, that's wrong. To me, that stuff needs to be archived. It ought to be archived. You know, it's interesting because Technorati went out of its way early on to buy lots and lots of service and do lots and lots of archiving. I don't know if they're doing it anymore, but the idea was that, you know, it's important to have that history present somewhere, even if it's only on the part of a company doing indexing and not the ones publishing it.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave Sifry and the other guys there didn't make a big thing out of that, but it was part of the kind of ethical considerations going in on the thing. So it's interesting. So the learning that this stuff scrolls into oblivion is disappointing to me, let me put it that way.
I think they're going to be wild.
I want to ask Doc another question. Doc, if they were like hiring you as a consultant, right? If Twitter were paying you really good money to give them advice on what they should do, and you're allowed to tell them what you in your heart believe they should do, what would you tell them to do?
I would tell them create, open everything, and be the first at the games that you invent. So, and I would tell them to archive this stuff too. You know,
that would be
a very big part of it. But you know, I've wanted search engines to do archiving forever. They haven't done it. You know, we have the archive.org doing it in a wonderful yet sort of clunky way because it's kind of hard to find stuff in there. But what they're doing is kind of like snow on the water, I guess. And you know, it's there for a bit and then it's gone. I don't know. I'm so, sort of surprised to find it. But my advice to them would be, you know, take your category. Let's say it's microblogging. You know, publish the APIs, publish the standards that you're using. Let's have standards around this thing. Let people, you know, let other people compete in the same thing. Let's create a category here where you're the first mover and you're the leader. And you get points for doing that, and you'll have competition, and you'll be ahead of others in the game. You know, so, you know, that's what we have with search. Why not have it with that? You know, we've got it with lots of categories. That's what I want to see happening.
You know, the main reason that Twitter has a lock on the space, as far as I see it, is the SMS platform that for messages in and out, and the fact that they own the namespace. Otherwise, the pattern of how Twitter works is actually easily replicatable in open standards today, and you know, it's really just rapid blogging or constrained rapid blogging. The reason Twitter stands out is because of the ability to address users in a really short form way. The only alternative that I can see is to be using, you know, OpenID URLs to address people, and it's very clunky. But
you mean,
you know,
you mean like the @ if I say @ Ev, that gets me a unique person? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's right.
Another
namespace is enormously valuable, and Facebook has tried to, you know, every move that Facebook has made recently has been to try to match Twitter in terms of its as public and its addressable identity fashion, and they're moving quite quickly in that direction, to their detriment in some cases, I think.
Marshall?
So here's a question. You know, they say usually that the big dogs don't have incentive to push for standards and interoperability, that's what all the smaller players get together to push for. But why is Twitter not pushing Facebook for why is Twitter, as a much smaller player there, not pushing for interoperability?
Because
I think Twitter is dramatically more open than Facebook.
They are
playing an open game versus Facebook. The only way Twitter is closed is in the nascent, and that's in a very hard thing to open up and federate. And I don't even know how they would go about doing that. They need to set up some sort of third party. And in the fire, they seem to, at least publicly, they say that's because of their infrastructure being quite brittle or whatever. But otherwise, they're very open. The API is open. The rate limits are high. The data comes out in standard XML and RSS. And, you know, Twitter is much more open than Facebook.
Yeah, in fact, the story is that apparently that Facebook is getting ready to support the Twitter API. And I'm not sure if they do. If they support it as a server, in addition, I mean, the client side would be easy. In other words, dumping Facebook content into Twitter would actually make a huge difference for Twitter. You might find all of a sudden that, you know, more than 50% of the content in Twitter was coming from Facebook, because that's how much larger Facebook is than Twitter. But there's another way that Facebook could do this, and they mention this in the document, is the embrace and extend, and that they could support the Twitter API as a legitimate interface to Facebook's functionality. And if they did that, that would really go a long way towards undermining Twitter right there. That would probably be the first thing that Facebook did that seriously would cause Twitter problems. And they mention it. They're hip to it inside Twitter, they know that basically that's the embrace and extend. That Microsoft, if Facebook were Microsoft, they would have done that to Twitter a long time ago. And that every time I've approached Facebook as a possible development platform, as a place to implement software, I often been very excited about the idea until I actually saw the API, at which point I said, there's no way I can't get through this. It's too complicated. It's too dependent on me having been with them from the start. Whereas Twitter, well, I was with Twitter from the start, so maybe Twitter is every bit as hard as Facebook is from that standpoint. It's possible that it is, but I've already been with them, so I already know it. So I don't know if that's true or not, but I think they would get a huge amount of developer support right off the bat if they supported that API. Don't all talk at once. Did everybody leave?
Yeah, I think that's strategically smart.
Or did I blow you away with the brilliance?
I think it would go a long way to undermining Twitter. I don't think it would go a long way to helping the community in terms of providing an open platform or an open alternative for Twitter.
Why? It would be that standard. It would be the standard. You'd have it right there. The second mover sets the standard, not the first guy. The second guy sets the standard.
It's not setting the standard is one thing.
Being the standard is another. I'd like it if they set a standard. I don't want them to be the standard to the extent that they've got a bigger walled garden than Twitter does, and that makes them better.
You have two, it's no longer a walled garden, Doc. I mean, it's now, if there are two and they interoperate interchangeably, transparently, that's it. You have an open system now. You know, FriendFeed, for example, adopts what you were saying, Chris, about the @ syntax for the name of the user. FriendFeed adopted that, and when you click on a name, if you type @ Dave Weiner into a FriendFeed message, that will link you back to Twitter.
Yeah, but the problem is that Twitter still owns that namespace.
Absolutely.
And that's really, to me, that's the only barrier to replicating Twitter in an open way.
Right. My advice to Twitter was become the network solutions of this space. In other words, acknowledge that they have that monopoly, okay? And then back off everything else. In other words, to the extent it's more or less adopting both of the advice Chris had and the advice Doc had, is to say, right, acknowledge that you are the monopoly on naming, okay? And now make sure that you have competition everywhere, which means completely open the fire hose without a license. In other words,
there was an attempt to solve this with iNames, right? Which was, equals Dave Weiner or equals Chris.
Chris, if you could try to find a better location, your cell phone is really choppy. It's very hard for us to make out what you're saying. So if you could find a better location.
Okay. Was I better before, or have I just been really, really bad?
You're much better now. That was very good.
Farther from the mic. You're motorboating. That's what it is. So if you're a little further from the mic, that might help.
All right. Fantastic.
Okay. So go ahead. You were saying?
I was just saying there was to do this in the past with iNames, which was, equals Dave Weiner or equals Chris Saad, and you could map that to an open ID. But that never took on for various reasons. I think it would take a group of well-respected community leaders to launch a sort of ICANN or a nonprofit to map these simple namespaces onto open IDs and then provide and you somehow police that. It would be a real
that's
nightmare.
Not going to go over. That won't go at all. I mean, the reason why Twitter works is because of its utter simplicity. It's because it's just @ somebody's name that works. It's because it's so simple.
Well, the convention could still be @ somebody's name, but the mapping between that and an open ID would be done by this third-party service. And it would store a big mapping table of those references.
No, but they won't go for the third-party service. Nor would, if I were their consultant in the same mode that Doc was in a few minutes ago, I wouldn't advise them to do that.
Well, I don't think they would do that, but I don't think the leader is ever incentivized to do anything that dramatic or open. It would take the rest of the community to pull that off. I think the people on this call would be the ones to do it, actually.
Yeah, so I've got a
I've got a couple of questions about the Twitter and versus Facebook scenario. How do people feel hearing this call about the idea that there could be a billion people in the world who are interested in wide open public messaging and conversation?
Well, in 1995, I said we'd have a billion. I said we'd have a billion bloggers in 1995. So billion is a good number. Everybody seems to pick a billion. It's a good number. In other words, it's the only outrageous number you could pull out of a hat, and this makes it sound like you were being casual about it. If they had said 1.35 billion, then you would have really questioned their sanity, right?
Uh-huh.
Or would...
Well, essentially, I guess what I'm wondering is, you know, I feel like Facebook is much bigger than Twitter right now, and right. It's not because people are unfamiliar with Twitter. It's because Facebook is not a wide open public discourse, and people like privacy and limiting conversation to approved friends. And I wonder whether there are a billion broadcast-minded folks whose genes are amenable to the Twitter paradigm in the world.
No, there aren't.
I don't actually agree that Twitter has the same mind share as Facebook, but people have chosen to use Facebook. I think more people know about Facebook, more people have their friends on Facebook, and that's why Facebook has the network effect behind them. I think Twitter is just as capable of reaching 200 million or more as the network effects continue.
I think Facebook's a lot more useful than Twitter. I mean, I was surprised, you know, the doc example with the fire thing, that really snuck up on me there because it's a pragmatic application. I have lately been impressed with how unuseful Twitter has become. I mean, it's always been full potential, but at some point, that potential needs to become real or else, you know, how long are you going to be willing to wait, you know? And my feeling is 140 characters is the reason. It's just not enough to express an idea.
I totally disagree with that, actually. I think Twitter is the ultimate outcome from, you know, the bubble that we called Web 2.0. I think it's pure sharing and collaboration in public in a way that none of the other services have matched, because it just boiled the entire concept down to its simplest form. And I think through its pure simplicity and utility that it's going to outstrip Facebook in its usefulness and popularity.
Interesting. I want to switch gears a little bit because there were some very specific things in this report that actually we should talk about. They talked about retweeting and what they're going to do with retweeting. That they're going to implement retweet. And I think from what I read, it sounded like it was going to work like the like command works in Facebook or in friend feed. Is that the way you guys read it too? Marshall, did you pick up on that?
I don't know that. I mean, all of these are such big chicken scratches. It's, you know, months old and hard to know what exactly is meant. But I read more that they were concerned about how they thought this was a real sticky problem because of attribution, editing along the way, while things are being retweeted, and if people are just liking things like they do on Facebook, that means there's no editing of the original message as it's passed along, which has some merits on one hand, but really, you know, is a loss on another hand.
Well, how do you feel when somebody retweets a message of yours and edits it and maybe alters the meaning of it as they do that?
Oh, I think that... that's an act of interpretation, and it's part of what we do when we pass along messages.
Have you ever had to explain to somebody that isn't what you meant, that somebody had changed your meaning?
You know, I don't know that I have. So maybe if I had had that experience, I'd feel differently.
Interesting.
No, go ahead, Doc, please.
I mean, just about anybody, but the latency issue, I guess. It's interesting. It's a changing picture. It used to be that retweeting of what I would post would be maybe it'd be one or two, or it would happen every once in a while. Now there's almost nothing that I post that doesn't get retweeted. Mostly it's pretty straight ahead. It's actually shortened what I post down to, you know, minus 7 characters, because that's at Searles, right? So, or maybe 8 or 9, because you got to have RT space at D Searles. I mean, I'm not that conscientious about it. I'm aware that it's something I do. I'm kind of amazed that people are willing to retweet what they retweet. I actually don't know what to make of it. Not many of them have been changed, and if they have, it hasn't been to a degree that I actually care about. So I don't know.
Do you generally leave the 8 characters room in your tweets so that people can do that?
No, it's just something I tried doing recently. I was aware that I was doing it, that I would, that I actually am starting to pay attention to the possibility that what I'm about to post will be retweeted, and what will the difference make? But I actually, for the most part, don't care. So I'll just tweet whatever, how long the tweet is, it'll be what it is. Mm-hmm. So.
One of the things I was surprised was that there was no mention of list functionality in any of the stuff that TechCrunch had. I'm pretty sure that that's one of the next things on their agenda, that they're going to be releasing that pretty soon.
What sort of functionality, sorry?
Lists. The idea that you could come up, that you might have a, like I have a just code that I've written myself. I have a Gilmore Gang page, which just, it sort of is an amalgam. It collects all of the posts from people who were part of the Gilmore Gang. And that's the collection. Or I might do, I have another one that's all the people who work at the New York Times. And that functionality
like
is something
groups.
That's really, pardon me?
Like groups.
Like what?
Yeah, just groups. You know,
oh,
like
yeah.
Facebook
groups,
has,
lists,
has
groups,
friends,
yeah.
Family, coworkers.
Right, right. And I'm pretty sure, like the retweeting, I've heard from other places that the retweeting is coming pretty soon, that Twitter-supported retweeting is coming pretty soon, as are the lists. But there was no mention of that in any of the docs.
Well, we have to remember, too, that TechCrunch is a business-focused blog more than they are tech-focused. I can't help but think that there may have been some editorial decisions made to focus on so much biz dev stuff being presented. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, because they did present some technical stuff, but Twitter is wrestling, you know, finds Diddy and Marissa Mayer to be a distraction, but they're thinking about giving stock to Diddy, you know, honestly, you know, that's of less interest to me, but it's going to get a lot more page views than saying, you know,
sure.
There's concerns about tweaking the API in such a way that retweets will be less data mineable or whatever. So
that's so true.
Interesting.
Although I think it is pretty notable that there were mentions of data mining, there were mentions of text analysis and stuff like that, and there was explicit mentions in the notes of bringing a new communication paradigm out to the world, and so. You know, this is really underlined for me something I've been thinking about for a while, which is that my characterization of the Twitter staff as, you know, frustratingly short-sighted about the potential of their platform was short-sighted on my part, because obviously they really are. They're thinking big picture, long-term stuff, and we saw that
mm-hmm.
in this document.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, does every tweet have an RSS feed?
Every user has an RSS feed.
Okay, so if that's the case, is Technorati crawling it? I wonder.
Yes.
Then they may have the archive. It's still architected the same way as it was a few years ago, which is the last I paid any attention to it. Just wondering about that.
Well, it's a much bigger archive than anything Technorati used to deal with. I mean, Twitter has 25 million users. You know, there I have a backup thing. I back up your tweets, Doc, and yours too, Marshall. I will start backing up yours, Chris. I basically back up everybody. Everybody that I follow gets backed up, and that goes to January, back to January of this year. So it's the kind of thing the community, you know, they could come back to us and say, you know, that's the kind of thing the community could do. You don't need Twitter to do the backing up because the API is sufficient to do that. You could do that yourself if you wanted to.
You can't back up. You can't archive the messages very easily of people that you don't know.
That's correct. And those might be the one. That might be the one that you're looking for, right? I mean, you know.
Well, when it comes to aggregate data analysis, and discovery and things like that, I mean, it's cool to have your own stuff backed up, and it's probably responsible. I know I use a Firefox plugin that automatically delicious bookmarks in my account every link that I tweet.
Well, I'm finally getting to the point where I'm starting to work on the open alternative to Twitter. I talked about it for, you know, a couple of years. But something happened with Google doing the pub sub hub dub thing. That really got me off my ass. Because it's very clear. Because I had asked them in an open blog post last month to do the small pieces loosely joined version of Twitter. A company of Google scale could do it, and do it entirely. You know, to go to what you were saying before, Chris. That, you know, okay, let's factor out the SMS thing. We can't deal with that right now. Okay, but instead, let's build a network of new RSS, not the old stuff. I'm not trying to work with the feeds from the publishing companies or whatever, but basically pass around updates through a centralized server and then request notification. It might not be, you might not get the, I don't know how fast Twitter is, by the way. We don't really know. I mean, unless you check to see how quickly other people are getting your updates, it's really hard to know how long ago somebody posted that tweet. But I think we could do it to a latency of a few seconds. And I think that the Google guys feel that way too. And so that's why I rebooted. We actually had a protocol built into RSS 2.0 for doing this. So I'm rebooting that now, the RSS cloud. And see where that goes. I think there'll be other implementations of it. That's the goal, of course, to try to inspire other people to do Bootstrap as well.
Yeah, I think all the technology pieces are there, minus the addressing bit, and it's quite easy to imagine a small pieces loosely joined version of Twitter with very little change to what we have today in standard blogging infrastructure. And you're right that the PubHub sub was the last piece in the pub. And actually, maybe a year ago, a year and a half ago, we proposed something very similar called Get Pinged.
Called
Get
what?
Get Pinged. It was Get Pinged with, getpinged.com. And it was basically a PP or webhooks pinging mechanism built on top of RSS that would allow any provider of RSS to ping any subscribers in terms of clients and turn RSS into something akin to push RSS.
Yeah.
So we proposed this a year and a half ago because at the time we were building a real-time, essentially Twirl, actually. But before...
Wanted Twirl to do this. I wanted Twirl to output RSS feeds. And I think ultimately we will get that. We'll get these guys to go. They need a little bit of a dose of courage, though. Who wants to finish? We got 60 seconds left, guys. Doc, do you want to give us a little talk about this, about openness, about vendor relationship management?
Well, I don't know if vendor relationship management has much to do with it. That takes too much explaining. But an interesting takeaway for me is just how naive I am about the fact about the archives. It's amazing with the web. I just assume once it's up there, it can stay up there. There's a there. I assume a there, and that's one thing. The next thing is that I didn't look at the TechCrunch stuff, but I did read some of the RSS Cloud stuff, and I really like what you're doing with that. That's really cool. So
thanks.
and it goes back.
Marshall, you want to take us out? We got 10 seconds.
Well, I guess we're in the early days, and let's hope nobody that let's hope the big players can not be too big, and they can pull it off for all of us.
Okay, guys, that's it. That's the show. Thanks so much, everybody. Have a bad year. Bye bye.